from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, we're talking here live from Ditka's on the heart of Chicago, the city of the big shoulders and home, of course, to a certain football team which has carved out a special place in the pantheon of professional football greats. That team, which is known the world over as the Bears. The
Bears. Third and one from the Bills' 9. Williams under center, hands it off. Trying to cut it back is Khalil Herbert, but he's knocked down and tripped up by Rasul Douglas.
The Bears are 7-point underdogs, but don't count them out.
Looks over the middle, and it's intercepted by Micah Baskerville. And this might go the distance unless Bouchel can trip him up. He cannot, and it is an interception return for a touchdown.
At game's end, there will be two teams of contrasting moods heading off the field, my friends. One glum, one gleeful. The gleeful of which being The Bears.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Congratulate a Bears fan on the existence of Caleb Williams, who looked really good. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Taking your thoughts on Bears and Bills from Highmark Stadium.
How do you feel about him in number 18, by the way?
Fine.
Fine?
Yeah. Peyton Manning's number, right? Is that who else?
It's weird seeing someone in that number be able to like scramble around, though, because it's not a very common quarterback number.
Looks like a slow number.
Right. You only think of Peyton Manning, who was a very, very slow quarterback.
Yeah.
I guess it looked okay. If he was wearing like number 3, though, it might have looked a little bit better, a little cleaner, faster.
He looked great, considering. Preseason, blah, blah, blah.
Also, congratulations to Matt Kuchar, who just teed off for... He did not tee off.
No, he...
What would you call it?
Played from the fairway on 18.
Yeah.
He's playing his final three shots, his own final three shots of the golf tournament.
By himself.
Yeah. All right, so the Bills got hammered by the Bears, kind of.
They did.
Listen, I watched the game a second time, the second half... For a first time, because I watched the first half and then was kind of in and out of the second half, knowing I'd go back and watch it. And it was a fun experience knowing they're losing, they're going to lose this game 33-6. How do they do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's still 13-3 for the longest time. And sure enough, a pick six. Then they go for a fourth down in their own territory. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. It's the Bears. And the Bills haven't had a lot of performances like this in the preseason, which might be one of the reasons why it's kind of new to hear Sean McDermott sound really upset about it. And Josh Allen and Taron Johnson, you know, two of the team leaders say, yeah, I mean, listen, we don't game plan. We're not out there. We don't show too much. So we keep it all in perspective about the preseason pledge. For me, the thing about the preseason that has value here, I was having a good time during the game, watching the game, checking Twitter, seeing what people are saying about it, and one of the things immediately comes up, like, our third down defense is terrible. Or, you know, some of the old habits you fall into about, like, oh, I can't stand so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
During training camp, everybody's fine. Everybody's great. Nobody's mad at anybody. Mm-hmm. Then you see one game, preseason or not, and it's, I think McDermott called a soft game plan. Or I think McDermott's third down defense is in midseason form because they gave up a third and 10. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff comes back. And for me, that's a reminder that all that really matters here are the games. We've had a lot of fun telling the story of this receiver room. And heading to the weekend, we got that Allen said that he likes his group. You know, Sean McDermott says, I love to see the unselfishness in that room. Something he has said almost every year.
Yep. Yep.
I saw you found quotes from almost every year.
Yep. Search McDermott and unselfish on Twitter, and you're going to find him talking about every receiver they've ever had.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Specifically said it about Diggs at one point.
Yes, he did.
Sure. So, you know, the offseason and the preseason storylines about how everything is going to go great, because this is not just specific to the Bills. Every team thinks this. Right now the Bears think everything's going to go great. And then the season will come, and we'll see what happens. The preseason is a reminder that games are all that matter to a lot of us. Sure, we love a lot of other things. You grow to love these players and value these players and their spot in the community and all that. But really, game day is what will matter. And a preseason game doesn't count, but it's kind of practice for game day. All right, let's see how the boys look. Let's see how the guys look. And it was not their best outing, and their head coach ended up mad about it. So if you have anything you took away, you can give us a call at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I'll tell you this about, if there was one player you might have been going to watch, it might have been Keon Coleman. Maybe you're in the stands and you thought, I'm going to watch number zero on every play and see what he does.
Yep.
Because he's arguably the most important rookie they have. He might be the most important rookie they've had in a long time. I mean, when Kincaid came here, we thought he'll be a part of the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so much that they needed him to be great right away in order for them to succeed. And I feel like with Coleman, there's a little bit more of an emphasis on, I hope this guy can play right away and be a difference maker. So if you watched Coleman, what did you get? You got a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple of targets. One from Allen. He completed a pass to Coleman. Soft zone on the outside. All right. First down.
Yep.
Good start, right? Then you get to play in the end zone where there's a lot of contact. And could there have been a flag thrown?
There were two plays in the end zone, actually, where he had contact. There was the one you're thinking of was much more, you know, guy was over the back. There was one before where he was getting held a little bit before, and he was mad that there wasn't a flag.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, that open anyway, but he would have had a shot at it. The one after was more, I don't know, would you even call it egregious? Or was the ball arriving and the guy went over the top of him?
I'm thinking about the one with the guy going over the top
of
him.
Yeah.
To me, that one, there's contact, right? Okay. If you call pass interference there, is that a ticky-tack call?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Because the ball is arriving like as he goes up for it. I noticed there were a couple plays where I did that. Like I was in the stadium. Like, okay, he's out there. Let me just watch Coleman. And, you know, like this is where the concern of him being that big X receiver comes in, is when he's pressed, it looks like he's uncomfortable. It looks like, is there a, I would ask the question, does he have a plan yet when he's lined up like that? Does he have a plan for how to get right around that guy? Does he know how to do it? And that's how they've talked about wanting to use him. And, you know, it was nine snaps. And of the nine snaps, was he pressed on four of them or five of them? Like, it wasn't all of them. The catch he had, he wasn't. But that's my big question mark about him right now, and there was nothing that I saw in that game in the limited action that made me think, oh yeah, no, all the concerns about can he get open, can he separate, can he get off a man at the line of scrimmage, like I'm still have every question that I did before Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably really unlikely you get answers to that in a preseason game,
right,
especially when they don't game plan. One of the things about Coleman, and you know, this is true of every receiver of every team, how do you use him, how do you deploy him? Are they scripting plays? Are they designing plays to get him open? The two catches he's made consistently at camp, he didn't make either one of these in the game, and I didn't even see a target to him in this nature in this game. One was, sorry, the two catches at camp. There's the kind of corner back end zone leaping fade.
Yep.
He catches that every day at training camp. And then there's the, I heard someone refer to this kind of route as a runway route. And it's kind of a Gabe Davis route, or it's kind of a, you know, Coleman has a similar speed trait. He's not fast or quick, but he can get to a good top speed. And this is the gauntlet drill. How did he run the gauntlet drill faster than anybody? He got runway. He's a big plane.
He's
huge. He's going to need a lot of runway. He's not, you know, taking three steps and going to be open as quickly or shake a guy free as quickly. It's probably just not the skill set. So we don't see him running that route in this game at all. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. What did you see? You saw a quick little end zone, whether that's an in or a slant. I don't know how often he's going to run that play when he's out there. My guess is in an actual game, he might be more likely to run to the sideline than he is to the middle of the field.
I mean, the guy that, I mean, again, 9 snaps for Allen in the starters, and then there were a few more after that. The guy that looked the most dangerous was easily Shakir, right? Mm-hmm. Shakir made one catch on the out on a third down on the left. He made the other one on the fourth down that Trubisky hit him on where he cut it to the outside, was faster than the guy covering him, and got up the sideline and turned. I mean, that's a Cole Beasley play 4 years ago that, okay, fourth and three, and you got to have a guy that gets that play for you. Cole Beasley makes that play exactly how Khalil Shakir did, but Cole Beasley gets that play for 7 yards. Shakir turns that upfield on the sideline and makes it a 20-yard play. So he looked really good. He made one catch on the outside also.
Yep.
Shakir did on a same route maybe that Coleman did, just kind of like a run and stop. So I liked how Shakir and even Samuel looked in their limited action. Coleman, though, you just don't – it's a different – it's a speed thing, right? I watch Andy Isabella and go, man, how is that guy not better? Look how fast he is. How fast he is.
It really is. He caught the one pass, and it looked like the TV went on fast forward.
Yeah, right. So it's weird to me. It's crazy that guy hasn't carved out a real career before given he was like a 4.23 guy, 4.25 guy at the combine way back when, which is why I got drafted in the second round probably. Coleman's different. He's different. You'll watch him. If you hyper-focus on him on a play, he's not going to be like those other guys where, man, even he didn't do anything that play, but you see how he moves? Like, Coleman, you don't really see that until, like you said, like if he gets the ball 5 seconds into a play, you'll see that. But every play that you just watch him out there at the stadium, like there's not going to be a lot of wowing play to play. It's going to be in those specific moments where jump ball or he caught the ball in space and... You know, you're not always going to get that. So you might just be patient with his highlights or patient with what impresses you about him.
The thing that will impress, I think, most when given the opportunity is he has incredible hands. I mean, it's not like for a receiver, you should have great hands, right? Like, well, there's definitely a hierarchy of how good the hands are on this team. Kincaid at the top, Shakir at the top, Coleman at the top.
Samuel's been pretty good.
Samuel's pretty good with that.
Yep.
He had a couple drops in the blue and red, but he hasn't had trouble at camp. And then there's MBS, who's at the absolute bottom, not just on the Bills, but in the league. Like, it's tough.
And James Cook.
Right.
Who's had drop problems.
Zach in West Seneca is up. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. My overall point was that, it's just like any other game, good, bad, and different. I mean, I just think of, like, I just take nothing from this. I mean, I think of, like, Nathan Peterman and those great preseason games, and it's just like thinking, okay, maybe we – I never thought he'd be great, but I thought, okay, maybe we got a serviceable guy here, and then he was just quite possibly the worst regular season quarterback of all time. I mean, I don't know that it gets worse than that. But, you just waiting on the line, you got me thinking about some of their weapons. And I think the height of Allen was 2020, the COVID year, and I think that was the height of Diggs, the height of Beasley. I think that was, like, the best year. If I just look back to that year, I think Allen's a push. The offensive line's a push. I'd say Cook versus Singletary's a push. But I do think they're better at tight end than they were there. I think this year's version of Shakir could actually be the same, marginally less, but maybe better than Beasley. Where they really miss, and they could replace a Gabe Davis with the guys they got, where they still miss a bona fide stud. And I want to preface that with, Diggs has not really been the same guy since that year. He was great that year. He was pretty good in 21 and 22 and right up until the Miami game last year was when he, you know, that was his last really great game. They were showing highlights of that at halftime on Saturday on TV. And I was like, it grinded me. I'm like, holy cow, he fell off. We did not have that guy down the stretch. But it just makes me wonder, like, you know, we haven't seen Allen really with this kind of hodgepodge of guys since, like, his rookie year. Or, I mean, that's really it, like, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It's a good tight end. I think the running back could be great, but you guys just referenced the drops. That scares the heck out of me because the guy's in position to make plays. Look at that Kansas City game where he catches one, you know, just running up the seam there. Like, there's potential, but it scares the heck out of me, all the drops. But, I, you know, Shakir catching those passes and turning up the corner, and that's cool. I don't know what to expect from Coleman. Is 50 catches, is could he get more than that because of they just have nobody? The one thing I caught myself thinking about over the weekend was, like, Anthony Gonzalez gets drafted by the Colts. I know this is, like, totally random, but, like, gets drafted by the Colts, right? And, like, he comes in, they got a big hole at slot receiver, and, like, the dude just catches, like, a ton of passes. And then never does anything outside of his rookie contract, you know, simply because he's got Manning and they throw the ball all over. Like, is it kind of like that because Allen's great now? I don't know. It's just, you know, it's interesting. One thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see a whole lot of Mac Hollins. I just, my biggest fear is he's like, what was that Packers receiver that was here that was just.
Kumerow?
Kumerow? Yeah, I just so bored. Every time he was on the field, I'm like, okay, you know, nothing. He had one big play against the Titans on Monday night, and that was, you know, that and the Denver catch 3 years earlier, and it was just like, all right, you know. I don't want guys on the field just to be on the field. Like, I want guys that can actually catch the ball. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Zach. You said a lot. What should we jump in on? I mean, Mac Hollins, when they signed him, we talked to Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports podcast, Football 301. He is a Falcons fan, and Mac Hollins had a season in Atlanta that was pretty good. He played a role there for them, didn't play a huge role. He had 18 catches.
Right.
In Vegas, he had 57 catches.
Right.
What does Mac Hollins' number end up being here if he stays healthy? My guess is it's like 40 to 50 catches. That's if he's healthy.
Man.
Who's above him on the depth chart? It's him and Coleman on the outside, and that's it. Claypool's not on the team.
50 catches.
50 catches.
What's he getting? What's he getting? 70, 80 targets?
If you're on the outside as a receiver on this team, I don't know how you don't.
He's splitting the role, though, remember.
He's probably splitting that role. He's splitting the role, but Coleman is probably splitting his snaps. Isn't Coleman snapping on the inside, in the slot, big slot? There are going to be games where Hollins is on the outside and Coleman is on the inside in the slot. And, like, again, this is a lot about how they might want to play versus how they do play. If their defense goes through growing pains, all right, let's take a look at what the Bills' game plan might be. 12 personnel, run the ball effectively, play action pass. That's all well and good. That's a great way to play when you're playing from in front. Great way to play.
Mm-hmm.
If your defense isn't quite what it's been in years past, which I don't know how big of a fear that should really be, but let's just say they go to a middle-tier defense, down to 15th. Respectable, but not where they normally live, which is top 5, top 10. They might be playing from behind a little bit more. And all of a sudden, you're run it effectively, play action. Now I need to lean more into more of a passing game. And if I do that, I've got Hollins on the field and Coleman on the field. And scenarios where they push the ball and push the tempo. You're right. 50 might be a big number for Hollins. But
50 is more than Gabe Davis ever had.
Catches?
Just keep that in mind. Yeah. Like, do we think Hollins is going to have more catches than Gabe Davis ever had as a Bill?
Boy.
That's tough, right? Gabe Davis played every snap.
He never had more than 50 catches.
48 was his career high.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Isn't it?
This is further proof to drive home the point that the issue the Bills have had at receiver the last two seasons has not been their number one. It's been that they didn't have anybody between 1 and 4.
Yeah.
Like, 50, you're number two.
And peak, 48, 48 was your,
catches.
48 was his top end in 4 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They didn't force the ball to Diggs. They just avoided everybody else. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
They just avoided everybody else.
That's where my expectations of Coleman are very tempered right now because, like you say, like,
Gabe also got 48 catches on 93 targets.
Yeah.
Another.
Yeah.
What?
51% catch percentage. Yeah. The other part of Coleman, like, man, you say like he'll play some in the slot. I hope so. I think because that's where a lot of the people that I listen to think he'll be better off at. I don't know that the Bills are going to do that though because they're busy there. They're busy on the inside.
They have Kincaid and they have Shakir. Yes,
they have Samuel.
They're busy.
They have three guys that all look like pretty good ideas to already play there. So how much run will Coleman get at that spot? And if he doesn't, think about where we're at if he doesn't. If they think, well, we've already got three guys and even Knox if you want. Like, we've got guys to play the slot. Like, we're not going to force Coleman in there. Like, we want him to be the X. We want him to play on the outside. And if he is splitting that role with Mac Hollins all year, listen to those Gabe Davis stats. I mean, what are we talking about then for Coleman? Because I've got a Gabe Davis role that never peaked at 50 catches that might be being split between two people. I recognize there's a Diggs vacancy here of 150 targets, which a lot of those came from the outside too, right? So yep. They're not just splitting Gabe's role. They're splitting, you know, maybe a little bit of the Diggs target share also. But just keep that in mind. Like, if he's not going to beat Mac Hollins out outright to be a full-time starter on the outside, like, I'm not expecting 50-plus catches from either of those guys.
Right. Then there's how teams defend you. Because as we lay this out, the Bills will definitely move Coleman around. He'll have to play in the slot some.
Yeah.
Mainly because, it's my belief, he's a rookie. He's got things to learn. There's room to grow. He did not beat man coverage consistently in college. If you line him up on the boundary in the NFL, then teams are going to probably man him up one-on-one and feel like they can do that for a little bit of time until he proves he can beat that.
Yeah. Year one, they might feel like we can do that to him all the time. Yes. And he's not going to get it. Like,
are they going to have to roll coverage? A couple highlight reel catches, a couple of jump balls, a couple of mosses. Like, that might change things. But if he's going to go on the outside, I think the teams will man him up as much as they can if they play man coverage. You're going to want to get him involved. He's a young player you got to bring along in a lot of ways. And the Bills will, of course, want to get him involved. This is sometimes referred to by some as forcing the ball to, but it's just throwing it to a good player. He's going to be a big part of your offense. I think they'll throw it to him. I think they'll move him around. And Brady talks about this too. The Bills receivers are all responsible for knowing all of the roles, all of the spots, because they're going to be shuffled so often. They like, I don't know if it's going to work, but they like to talk about positionless football. We have concepts. Mm-hmm. So Coleman's going to have to know the concept that on the outside. He's going to have to know the concept of the slot. I think they'll move him around plenty. If they don't, that could be a problem. 803-0550. Most of this isn't taken like from the game on Saturday. It's just deployment and how they might use him. Sal, when we get back, we'll talk to him about the game against the Bears, McDermott's frustration, whether or not that could lead to starters playing a little bit more in Pittsburgh. Also, they have joint practices on the way, which I think are a mistake.
Fight night.
Don't do it, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners and Saints had joint practices. They canceled.
They canceled. You see why? See why they canceled?
I figured it was because of fights.
The 49ers said they didn't have enough players.
Oh, okay. How about the Rams and Cowboys have a joint practice after the preseason game?
Wait.
They played a preseason game.
Oh,
and
they're
now they're going to have a joint practice.
They're going to play it after?
Yeah.
Huh. Carryover from the game is going to cause even more fights, isn't it?
Who knows? Bills and Steelers joint practices.
Who's going to get in
where
a fight
you're allowed
with the Steelers
to punch players, drag them to the ground, swing helmets? It is a lawless land.
Yeah.
Joint practices. Okay.
The Bills have Kareem Jackson on the team, which is danger for fights. He threw a hit at the back of the head of a Bears running back on Saturday. I didn't see anybody point it out, but I saw it live and went, there. That dude, he's out here in a preseason trying to headhunt the rookie running back on the Bears. We'll see. Maybe he'll start something.
Sal, when we get back.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio. He was at Highmark Stadium for the Bills' first preseason game of 2024. Joins us on the Western Hotline. We take your calls on it as well, your thoughts, your reactions, anything you saw there in the first edition of the 2024 Bills that doesn't count but kind of counts a little bit. You know, we've been through this before. Jeremy and Joe with you, and Sal on the lines. Hey, Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, how was the game? Enjoyable, good crowd? I mean, takeaways from what looked like a beautiful day there at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice to get back in the stadium. It's always nice for me to get back on the field and see a lot of people I haven't seen since, you know, obviously last time was the playoff game last year. There was some from last week in the red and blue game. You see that. But, you know, a lot of the, you know, kind of like the operations staff, the officials, the people, the chain gang, people on the sidelines and, you know, security, people like that. It's just always nice to kind of, it's like going back to school, that first day of school, you know what I mean? So that was pretty cool. And then it's a great day always preseason for a lot of kids. You know, it's awesome to see the kids there. Unfortunately, no touchdowns to cheer for the Buffalo Bills. Didn't go very well on the field, obviously, but it was nice to get back there. Yeah.
Well, no touchdowns. The starting offense didn't play very much. Starting defense didn't play very much. So let's start at the beginning. And the starting offense, the starting defense, you know, what do you take away from it? Do you have much? I mean, Josh Allen doesn't have much to prove to anybody. We saw a little bit of Khalil Shakir. We saw some of Curtis Samuel. Takeaways from, you know, the big guns on the offense, if anything.
I take away pretty much nothing from the starters. You know, this game to me, and that the starters were there for very few plays, one quarter, but they hardly had the ball, really, on offense. You know, they tried to just kind of do some simple things, throw the ball a little bit. You know, Josh you know, obviously slid in his last play there, and then for next play, Sean McDermott takes him out, started the second quarter. Defensively, you're missing Daquan Jones. Ed Oliver goes out very first play. You don't have Matt Milano. I mean, you know, the safeties that are banged up. So even though you're playing with the starters, there are several that still aren't out there, to be honest with the team. I mean, if you want to take red zone defense, it was nice. They had, even Sean said, you know, they kept him in the game a little bit there at the very beginning. Russell Douglas made a really nice tackle in the red zone against the Bears. I don't take much away at all from the starters, to be honest with you guys. I talked to several players in the locker room this goes for the whole game, where just no game planning whatsoever. And you know that, and we've talked about that. Like, you're just kind of running really, really basic concepts on both sides. And I mean, hey, they did give up, and Taron Johnson said, they gave up that screen pass. You never want to see that. But you know, in a game, are you blitzing in that situation? I don't know. They were caught in a little bit of a blitz, so you can't really take much away from those kinds of things.
Yeah. What usage at all is probably the same, Sal, where you can't take much, especially for the Bills, like a receiver. Mac Hollins doesn't play, so maybe things would have been different. But Coleman was the guy out there the most. But that's kind of a continuation, right? Like, I know I've heard you point this out, that in training camp, like, they've been trying to get him as many reps with Allen specifically as possible. So him playing the most of the receivers with the starters, probably not a surprise.
Yeah, I actually take more away from, like, who's playing how much, right?
Yeah.
Like, the snap counts and where they're coming in the game. It's not even about, like, the play, right? You could dissect a play here or there, and did Keon Coleman do this or that? But, like, when are guys getting in? And, like, even with Mac Hollins out, MVS doesn't get in until, like, the second group. Like, what does that say about his standing? I think about where these guys are and their standing on the team. To me, that's what I'm looking at a lot more, trying to figure out what the team thinks about each guy. Mac Hollins, to me, is going to be a big part of this team. He's a big part of this offense. So, I mean, he didn't play, but he's going to play. He's been a big part of what they've been doing. Tyrell Shavers got in a little bit later with the second group there. I feel like there are four guys. It's Samuel, no particular order, Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, and Hollins. Those are going to be your top four wide receivers that they're going to rely on and have, and those are locks on the team. After that, I think anything is up in the air. You know, Matt Bove and I did a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast yesterday to kind of dissect it. Matt made a really good point. He said maybe the guy that helped himself the most was Chase Claypool by not playing. Because, did anybody really do anything to separate and say, you know what, Chase Claypool is so far behind? Now, of course, you say that because, you know, you don't want to see the guy being hurt. But the fact is, like, you now can say, like, okay, there's still a door open for a guy like that.
Yeah. Is that, if anything, the troubling part, Sal, that nobody really did much in that game? And you saw drops and, you know, the idea that the guy that didn't play and hasn't played had a good day. That might be a bad day for the Bills.
Yeah. No, I mean, I mean, Mitch Trubisky did not look good, and Shane Buechel was even, you know, worse than that, right? I mean, like, let's just call it what it was. The game was going too fast for Shane Buechel to me, and he was in there, and I don't know how much you can get from what's going on. MVS had a drop. You can't do that. It was a minute and 11 left, a two-minute drill. They're only down 6-3. I mean, think about that. They're only down 6-3 at the end of the second quarter, despite how kind of poorly they basically played throughout, and they have a chance to go down and tie the game at the very least. You know, MVS drops a pass. Those are things you just can't happen and can't have. So I just don't know how much you want to take away from, or anybody can. Look, like, to me, they did not play well. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my God, it's preseason, nothing matters. I don't think they played well, and that has to be addressed. And to me, the biggest issue was what I saw over the last several years in preseason. The depth for this team in preseason always still kind of showed up against other teams, third teams. That didn't happen. And I would also tell you, though, it was the second game for the Bears. Let's remember that. They started a week earlier in training camp. They played an extra preseason game. That's got to matter a little bit. I mean, Caleb Williams, he looks really good. But also, let's think about this. What did they do? They rolled him out. They got him in space. I'm just telling you that, like, in a real game plan situation, those aren't going to be as easy throws to go against the defense. So those are things you have to keep into perspective. The things that Sean McDermott's upset about, I agree with, which are you can't have drop passes. You can't have 11 penalties. You can't have, you know, easy plays that are missed here or there. You can't have a horrible penalty on a guy like teeing off on him on the sidelines. Those are the things that need to be cleaned up, and that's why your second and third teams did not keep pace.
Sal, you had your arrow up, arrow down article over the weekend. How hard was it to have arrow ups, and what haven't we mentioned here among things that went well in the game?
You know, there were a few I liked. I mean, red zone defense early on was good, like I said. I mean, a few players played pretty well. I thought Frank Gore Jr. had a nice day. Frank Gore Jr., I thought, ran the ball hard. He was involved in the passing game a little bit. I didn't love Ray Davis's game. Now, he had a nice blitz pickup. He did have a play that was wiped out. You know, it wasn't horrible for Ray Davis, but I liked the way Frank Gore Jr. played in this game. Tyler Bass needed that day. Tyler Bass had a 48-yarder, and that was windy, guys. Like, that was a nice day for Tyler Bass out there. The challenges by Sean McDermott, these are mechanical things that, you know, are going to happen in games with John Perry. Like, those are good things that happen. So how hard was it? I guess. I mean, I'm looking for things, but at the same time, I like the way that the defensive ends play. I like Javon Solomon and Kingsley Jonathan. They're both fighting for roster spots here and what they want to do. Like, there were things you could take away that still looked okay for this team.
Yeah. Was it interesting at all or surprising at all, Sal, that McDermott seemed so put off by the effort, or is that what you would expect, even though it's preseason?
No, this wasn't a Doug Marrone, like, super upset on the scoreboard being lost. Sean McDermott, I mean, yes, I'm sure you want to win whenever you step on the field. Sean McDermott wasn't upset that they lost the game. He just said, you got to, like, when you put on a Buffalo Bills uniform, like, that's not the standard of play. And I agree with that. That just was not, I don't even want to say effort. Like, that's the low-hanging fruit effort. It wasn't effort. These are just really basic things that need to be cleaned up, guys. Like, you know, you go through four quarters of play at home in a preseason game, your first action out there, it can't look like that. It's got to look better this week. It's got to look better in Pittsburgh. And we could talk about the joint practices. I know you don't like them, Jeremy. I disagree. I think they're what this team needs right now. But, you know, you got to look better than that this week in Pittsburgh, and especially on Saturday night.
You think the starters will get maybe more than they would have based on how it looked?
It's a good question. I have to go back. Remember last year against Pittsburgh, they were not good, the starters, right? They did not look good in Pittsburgh. What happened the next week? Didn't they play some the next week?
They did.
And they I wouldn't be surprised if Sean McDermott takes that approach again and says, we got to be better. But again, I'm going to go back to it. This was not on, like, what can we take away from the starters? I'm not sure. To me, this was a collective, even more of a second and third team situation where it was everything kind of went awry. It wasn't necessarily starters. No, the starters didn't score, you know, the offense, but how much can you take away? To me, this was more collectively. Last year in Pittsburgh, the starters, they did not play well at all, and then you saw that the following week, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I know you said it was, you know, rollouts, and Caleb Williams won't have that easy a time going forward. Were you impressed by the number one pick?
I was, because of those things. Like, what they did was, Chicago had a really nice game plan for their number one pick franchise quarterback, which is, hey, it's his first preseason game. What did he do well at USC? He was very good at getting out of the pocket, rolling out a little bit, you know, making those throws. And I think they did a really nice job to keep him comfortable. You have to understand what Chicago's trying to accomplish too, right? Chicago in this situation, like, they got to make him confident and comfortable. And I think they did a really nice job of that. So, yeah, I liked him. I liked this game. He made a couple really nice throws. It's not going to come as easy if these two teams are playing in a regular season. The Bills are kind of know with that. They're going to kind of button that up and make sure that those things don't happen. But don't take anything away from the Bears and what they did in Caleb Williams, for sure. I think that he looked good. I think he looked confident, and I think they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish on their end.
What about the kickoff sale? We saw a bunch of them on Saturday. I don't think that we really saw anything crazy there. But in terms of usage as a returner and then the execution of it, does it feel like maybe the Bills doing this along with the whole league, that any idea thought of, like, it being super experimental in the preseason, maybe we are seeing teams kind of save some stuff?
Yeah, so what's interesting is, and I don't know if I was really thinking, and I think the Bills wanted to, my impression was they wanted to, just through all the messaging and talking about it in the preseason and training camp, was they were going to, like, evaluate the roster and kick it in the landing zone. I think the wind might have played a role in the fact that it didn't go to the landing zone, guys. I don't think this was necessarily by design. It could have been. But that very first kickoff, like, it got up in the air, and it was downwind, and it went in the end zone. And I don't know if that was by design or just kind of, you know, that Tyler Bassett kind of took off on him. And then in the second one, he's driving it into the wind, so he might have overcompensated. But I wish I would have seen a little bit more of, you know, what that particular thing, like the kickoffs and what they want to do. Now, as far as the return is concerned, you know, K.J. Hamler had a drop on a kickoff. Can't have that. Daquan Hardy goes in. He muffs, well, he kind of bobbled, I should say, bobbled a punt return that he shouldn't have fielded anyway at the 4-yard line. So this is probably a little battle here we're going to see over the next few weeks on who they really kind of want. Now, Ty Johnson's going to be in the mix. He didn't play. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't get as much out of the kickoff and kick return as I wanted because of the ones that went in the end zone. And, again, but that might have not been what they really wanted to do.
Right. Steph Curry, Sal, were you watching?
I would have been in the middle of the Bills game still.
That's right.
Been on the sideline still.
3:30 start.
Yeah.
Well, the end of it. You could have caught the end of it. No?
Here's what happened. The game was over, and I was writing arrow up, arrow down, and a lot of times I'll just go kind of I'll drive home and kind of finish it up. And I said, no way, I'm going to the press box to watch.
Yeah.
So I went up into the press box and I watched the end of the game while I did arrow up, arrow down. It was really cool. He was amazing. It really was. That was super cool, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, we'll talk later this week. Thanks again.
Yeah, you got it. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the schedule is for Wednesday. Joint practice. It's one joint practice, by the way. They're in one joint practice on Wednesday. Okay. And then Saturday night is the game.
All right. So joint practice Wednesday down there?
In Pittsburgh, yes.
So the Bills are staying there all
Thursday.
Thursday night, Friday night, and playing on Saturday.
Yeah, travel on Wednesday. My fault.
Gotcha.
Travel on Wednesday.
Okay.
Joint practice on Thursday. Real quick, Jeremy, I think it's what this team needs. They need to go against other people they don't see and know the normal routine and technique and all that stuff that they're used to. And I think that after the performance on this weekend especially, I think this is what this team needs, to go out there and play another opponent and show that, like, what you put forward and how you react in those situations has to be better.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Maybe it is what they need. Maybe. I fear lawless injury, attempt to injure. It is a loophole. You will not get suspended by something you do in a joint practice. Aaron Donald swung two helmets at a person, was not suspended.
Yep, or even fined.
You can throw fines. In fact, all that happens is your team gets fined. We learned that because the Lions and the Giants fought a bunch. Who got fined? The teams.
Yeah.
So, call me crazy, I wouldn't be putting my best players out in those scenarios.
Isn't it more dangerous for your starters in that setting than a preseason game?
Definitely. And the difference is, in a preseason game, thousands of people are there to watch.
Yeah.
You, at least as a franchise, are making some money off of it. What are you making in a joint practice? Nothing. I think it's a terrible idea, not just for the Bills. I think it's a terrible idea for everybody. I would not do it. But who am I?
I won't get too mad about it as long as there's a memo to all Bills players, which is, hey guys, if fights start, please don't break your hand on the side of somebody's helmet, because that's not going to do anything.
Listen,
you try to punch a guy who's got a metal helmet on, it's not going to go your way.
I'm not that mad about it. I'm just reserving the right to be like, huh, I told you.
Well, you're reserving the right to be mad about it if somebody important gets injured.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, 803-0550, break time for us. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call if you want, react to the preseason game. Can't believe it's not a game tonight. Give us a Monday nighter.
Nothing?
We used to be a proper country. No Monday night preseason.
And the Olympics is over too.
Yeah, give me something.
What do we get today? Matt Kuchar.
It's already over. Matt Kuchar.
He's already
over.
Done.
Congratulations,
it was
Matt.
A great
Matt Kuchar on his
3-minute round.
He parred.
Yeah, I'm gonna really miss the Olympics.
They were great.
They were awesome. Gold Zone was awesome. It was incredible.
Very good. All right, 803-0550. See if we can find some instant trivia. Maybe we'll have some fun there. We're into Premier League season. Starts this week. Starts Friday. That's good news, too. All right. Hey, it's fair season.
Yeah. Do we got some crazy fair foods this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. We got to get Josh's full recap of the fair. He went to the fair yesterday, and he was pulled on stage for a show.
Yeah.
Was he sawed in half? We'll find out after the break. You ever been pulled up on stage for a show?
No, I don't think so.
Not even as like a kid? You know, hey kids, we need a tug of war. Anyway.
I don't think so.
803-0550. On the Bills, on the fair, it's fair season. It's getting close to fall. More people are saying it. Very exciting. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right. Hey, it's fair season.
Yeah. Do we got some crazy fair foods this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. We got to get Josh's full recap of the fair. He went to the fair yesterday, and he was pulled on stage for a show.
Yeah.
Was he sawed in half? We'll find out after the break. You ever been pulled up on stage for a show?
No, I don't think so.
Not even as like a kid? You know, hey, kids, we need a tug of war or
something.
Anyway.
I don't think so.
803-0550 on the Bills, on the fair. It's fair season. It's getting close to fall. More people are saying it. Very exciting. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.